today on Real Radio.
The world's love says, you exist for my pleasure, give it up. God's love is, I've come to show you love and I've given it out. And he's exhibited that obviously in his own life. That you and I must understand the love of God if we are ever going to be loving people.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message titled Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 2. You know, Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ, and he later on became the leader of the first church. Throughout his ministry, Peter lovingly cared for others and faithfully pursued his passion to spread the gospel to those around him. Peter understood the power of God's love and set a great example for all true believers to live by. Now, as we continue in chapter 5, we'll see how Peter turns his focus on the leadership of the church. Peter, knowing the glorious reward that awaits his people, urges us to serve willingly those whom God has entrusted to our care, not because we have to, but because we want to serve others without any ulterior motives or self-preservation. So today, on day 2 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we need to understand God's love for us. Love experienced is a love that we can share with others. This means to act like a shepherd does, to care, to protect, to watch out for, and correct God's people who are living around us and among us. And now in his message called Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And he gives a tremendous statement, church, right here, and I don't want you to miss it. He mentions the word here, revealed. Will be revealed. Interesting word, because it can be translated this way. It is being revealed. It's being revealed now. It will be revealed. It will all be fulfilled. It's all going to happen. It starts out. It's happening now. And it's going to be brought to a full completion. And that is that when Christ, and you can't get any other word around it, it's when Christ and his glory is revealed. This is a reference to the coming back again of Jesus Christ. He's coming back. He hasn't left us untethered in this work. He's coming back. He's given parables. I'm coming back. Go. He says, go farm the fields, plant the seed, be faithful. Don't let the oil in your lamp burn out. Talking about the Holy Spirit in your life. Continue. Don't give up. Don't back up. Go. And while you're busy about my Father's business, I'm going to come back at it a moment you have no idea of. And I'm going to reward every one of those who were faithful. You want a big cause? Live for the glory of Jesus. Amen. Do not live for the glory of a church. Well, my church says, or my denomination preaches. Don't do that. None of those things in the end will matter. There's one that will matter, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are to be living for him. And I think in a moment, Peter's going to make this extremely clear. Look at verses 2 and 3. It's our second point. Ministers, each and every one, is the fact that you and I, we need love to be loving others. Did you know that? So when we talk about elders, he said, I want the elders, I exhort them in this ministry, church leadership. And for that matter, the Christian, of course, should be identified by their love. Love for God, love for one another. Now, this is a tough nut to crack right here. First of all, are you guys listening? 4 of you. Awesome. So here's the deal. I'm afraid that even in the Christian community, we have lost our definition and understanding of what love is. When somebody said, well, you know, but just love. Well, what does that mean? Because we live in a weird world now. Most often when you hear love spoken about, it's actually lust. Oh, it doesn't matter what lifestyle we choose as long as we love one another. What does that have to do with anything? Listen, our culture has exalted, quote, love as the most awesome preeminent virtue. It's not. You cannot have an actual love that glorifies God unless we define what it means. But on top of the heap is this unity we left off on a moment ago, is that you and I as believers are to operate understanding that the unity is all based upon truth, and it's not your truth or my truth. Listen, another misnomer in our day and age is, well, what is your truth? This is a big deal. You can go to conferences now on this. There's seminars. For you to be faithful to your truth. Well, my truth just ran over your truth. It's humanism. Have you noticed? Nothing's new. This was big in the 60s. Humanistic, hedonistic, existentialism. There are no absolutes, they say. There's no absolutes except each person's absolute. It's hypocritical. So somebody will say, as long as you love. Well, I might view love as your wife. Oh, I know she's your wife, but you know, I'm sincere. I lust your wife. That's what it is. I lust. See, where does that end? God's word defines love, and love is sacrificial. Love is giving. Love exalts the other. It doesn't rob or take away from the other. The world's love says, you exist for my pleasure, give it up. God's love is, I've come to show you love, and I've given it out. And he's exhibited that, obviously, in his own life. That you and I must understand the love of God if we are ever going to be loving people. And so I mix that with the fact, as I mentioned also last week, is that you have your personality. How many of you in the room, go ahead and raise your hand, how many in the room tend to be quiet? You're just a quiet person. Go ahead, you can do it. It's hard to get a quiet person even to lift their hands, but how many of you find yourself as a moderate? You're kind of right in the middle. You kind of talk, you kind of listen. How many of you talk a lot? Oh my goodness. You know, that's very much linked to your personality. Some of you have a sense of humor, some of you kind of do, some of you don't. That's your personality, for which Jesus did not die for. He died for your sins. So why do you bring this up? Because you and I, even though we're unified in the Word of God by the Holy Spirit, the fact of the matter is you and I have been designed by God to exhibit love differently, and yet it builds the body. In a sense, some of you are loud with love. I hope I'm loud with love. I have a big mouth that I hope is sanctified by the grace of God to encourage you in the Word. Some people have a softer expression of love. Some people can't speak at all, but they do it. Are you with me? And I mean this. Some people roll up their sleeves and get dirty and muddy and sweaty getting the job done. And some people sit in an office or at a kitchen table and they write a check and get the job done is equally the same. Are you with me? This is how it works. It's remarkable. We see it this way in verse 2, is the fact that love experienced is a love caring. You've got to experience the love of God. And he says this in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. So elders, you are to shepherd the flock of God. That means this. To shepherd them means to shadow the chief shepherd, to be like Jesus. It means to care. It means to protect. It means to preside over with a watchful caring. It also implies not only the loving on them, but the loving in all facets. When the Bible here tells us that shepherds, we can use the word elder there, you can use the word shepherd, you can use the word pastor. He says, pastor the flock of God which is among you. That word means that the pastor ought to first have experienced the love of God. I would never want to be under a pastor's leadership and tutorial care that has not experienced the love of God. And many of us have. I haven't, but many of you have because we've talked. and you had a pastor in your previous church experience that, as Chuck Smith used to say, they beat the sheep. They beat him with words. They beat him with guilt. They beat him with shame. They if there's a problem in the church, they go after the flock and they hammer from the pulpit. Well, if you guys would step up, if you guys would serve more, if you guys would give more, this church would be a lot better. All the while not recognizing that he's the reason for the failure. The pastor is supposed to love on the flock, but he can't do that unless he knows the love of God. Listen, you cannot give true biblical love unless you've experienced it. Have you noticed the love that we give is the love that we received? Think of it. Listen, you can be here right now as an absolute non-Christian. The love that you give is the love that you have received. You had it patterned. I say love loosely. It may be abhorrent. It could be an abusive love. That's what you give because that's what you received. Jesus comes in and loves on the forgiven soul, loves on your life, and all of God's ministers, by the way, the greeters, parking lot ministry, nursery ministry, every one of us who are serving, every one of us should be marked by the fact that we recognize, at least to some degree, God's love that has affected our lives. Have you been loved by God? The people who have been loved by God turn around and love you. And you can't shock them, by the way. People who've experienced the love of God in their own lives, when you share something with them, they don't go, oh my goodness. Oh, I can't believe that about you. Look, if you confess and a Christian responds that way, you probably should have prayed about confessing to them. But people who've experienced the love of God can turn and give it. God's love has an incredible power to heal the most adverse situations. And so we are to love the flock of God which is among us. In other words, you love the people that are in front of you. Some pastors have grand visions of pastoring a huge work of God and they can't even love the people in the front row. That's weird. But in loving the church, we're being like Jesus. In fact, listen to this. Regarding you and I receiving the love of God, it's Psalm 23:1 that says, the Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? If the Lord's your shepherd, then if you're involved in Christian work, you understand, wow, he is first my shepherd. All ministers, including pastors and evangelists and all the rest, are sheep first that have been loved by the shepherd. It's been my experience in talking with other people that a lack of ministry love is also accompanied by legalism and what I would just call general rule keeping. The rules are unfurled before the body, and this is what you do. You do these things, and if you do these things, you're accepted here in this church. That's unfortunate. It's love that conquers a multitude of sins, not rules. Do we all know that? You can unfurl all the rules you want. They cannot change the heart. They can only convict the heart because you'll fail. You will fail. That's what the Ten Commandments are for, to show us how bad we fail. And if you have any doubt about that, read the first one. If you think you have fulfilled the first of the Ten Commandments, then we want to meet you after service. Wow. And the word flock here is that word that simply means the body or the gathering of those among us. Now, I'm going to say something. I have to be careful. But right here, right now, okay, this is first service. I forget. This is first service. And you are to love those that are around you. You say, Pastor, I feel like you're putting me on the spot. I am putting you on the spot. You're not responsible for loving second service right now. You're responsible for loving first service. So who attends third? Forget about who attends third. Who attends first? That's your question. So I'm at first. Who attends first? It can begin that way. Now look at you. I've said this before. I'll say it again. You do know that about 90% of you sit in the same spot every week. Do 90% of you know the names of those around you in this location that you occupy every week? That's where you begin. You get the names of those that are around you and watch what happens. You begin to love on them. But for many of us, we need to know about the love of God. I grew up in a stern, rule-regulated home. The word "I love you" was never said in our home until the Tuesday night after the Monday night I got saved. I went home that Monday night after I got saved on June 20th, 1977, and on June 21st, Tuesday night, my dad was reading his Orange County Register newspaper, and you never touched my dad's chair or his newspaper. And I walked up and I pushed down the newspaper. He looked at me with his stern look, and I said, "I love you, Dad." And you would have thought I'd thrown a bucket of ice water on his face. He was completely shocked. He was shocked. He didn't know what to do. Caught him completely off guard. What caused me to do the unthinkable in our home as a 19-year-old? What caused me to do that? That Monday night previously, I had heard Greg Laurie preach the love of God, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Wow! God loves me! And only then could I begin to start exhibiting love. Do you love God's people? Do you love God's church? Do you love the will of God? Do you love God's word? That's the question for all of us. But love experienced is a love that cares. It's active. It does something about it. It's our response to his goodness. And we need that more than ever. Church, we need to be careful against. Write this down in the negative. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, this is the negative. The Bible tells us about Cain and Abel. It says, "Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother," that had to be so freaky, "and killed him." The first homicide recorded in the Bible. "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?'" Church, did God know where Abel was? He, now he's lying, says, "I don't know." Can you imagine Cain? "I don't know." He tells God. First of all, he doesn't say, "Wow, God, is that you?" He says, "I don't know where he is. Am I my brother's keeper?" The word is, "Am I my brother's shamar? Vanguard? Am I my brother's protector? Am I responsible for my brother?" What do you think the answer to that is? Yes. Absolutely we are. You want to change the culture around us? Imagine, do you want to invade the culture for what's right? Just what if us, this service, began to treat people even outside the church and the community as a vanguard for them, as a keeper? What does that mean? It means we communicate even to the pagan heathen, we love them. You know, we do love them. They drive us nuts, right? The unbeliever gives us tons of grief. We can't stand what they do, but as a human created in the image of God, we love them as a person, not what they do. They're lost like we used to be lost. Somebody loved us enough to tell us the gospel. Remember? You can't give the gospel unless you've experienced it. And if you've experienced the love of God, then you can reach out to an unbelieving world that's around you. And yes, we are our brother's keeper. Yes, we are. You know what? I got to move on to the second point under this. But I got to tell you, I had an old man, white-haired, lived his life. I was talking to him about a social, cultural issue that the church needs to take a stand against, because if the church doesn't, nobody will. And if we don't take a stand against it, it's going to destroy our children. And I'm talking to this guy about it. And you know what he said? He's a Christian. He said, "Listen, I'm old." Well, he may be old, but he was very able-bodied and very up and about. And by the way, very blessed, I mean by wealth. And that old guy said, I'm old now. I have fought battles. That's to another generation to fight. That is one of the most pathetic statements of surrender that you can hear. Translation, I've got tons of experience. I fought many fights in the past for what's right. I've got tons of time on my hands because I'm retired, oodles of money so I can really make a difference. But no, it's time for me to throw in the white flag with my white hair and quit. We should look at the white hairs who can teach us how to fight. The older generation is not to be discarded. It's to be listened to if they have something to say. And many of you as believers have got tremendous Christian experience and you've walked through and experienced the love of God. And there are younger generations that would love to look to you and hear from you about what God has done for you. It's awesome. It's great conviction, no doubt about it. Yes, we are responsible. Secondly, look at this. Verse 2 tells us that love nurtured is a love maturing. A love that is being nurtured within us as believers to love one another and to stand for what's right is to love God. It has its effect of love being matured in us. What do you mean by love maturing? A love that's resilient. It's not whimsical. He says, serving as overseers. This is awesome. Serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. The word overseer here means one that looks over. It means to preside over. I'm going to give you the technical meaning. Do you guys care about this? Do you want to know this? I think you should know this for a lot of reasons. One of them should be for you to judge this church and this ministry and or any ministry you come in contact with. Number one, the word overseer means to the business or the work of those who have been granted the general oversight of operations, of doings. It means to care for the things such as, if you were in the temple, you would have cared so that the oil wouldn't run out in the lamps. In church life today, for example, the 21st century, is the sanctuary ready for service to receive the people? Are we able to help those that are hurting? Are we able to do this thing for those missionaries? Are we able to get the word of God out to the ends of the earth? It's a general oversight. All what's implied is, are we obeying the word of God? Are we seeking to do the word?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, come to Jesus, the one who ministers to you and gives you the power to overcome anything that you might be going through. Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others really does still inspire us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, like Peter, the one great thing about getting older is that we get to share what we've learned and experienced with others. And the more we discover about the character of God, the more our spirits are lifted and our faith grows. Peter didn't have the advantage of the New Testament of the Bible, but we literally have hundreds of resources that we can use to study God's Word for ourselves. One resource we can go to that we can trust is Pastor Jack's website, jackhibbs.com. Once you're there, you'll find Bible studies, sermons, devotions, podcasts, and so much more. It's all right there at jackhibbs.com. We hope you'll visit jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.